This holiday, BMW has reunited three members of the family at the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric i4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine.
Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
Is it just me, or has TV gotten really complicated? I'm either endlessly searching for my favorite shows or subscribing to a dozen different streaming services to make sure I can watch everything I love. And I'm not even saving that much money compared to my old cable bill. Thankfully, Philo has changed all that for me. One service, all the stuff I need. Philo's got current seasons of the shows I can't miss live on networks like Paramount, A&E, MTV, Discovery, and TLC. Classics like The Office, Martin, and Friends that I never get sick of, and all of the incredible originals on AMC Plus, from Mad Men to Orphan Black. Don't forget their library of more than 75,000 movies and shows, all of which I can save and re-watch anytime for a whole year. Never miss a minute of shows like Gypsy Rose, Life After Lockup on Lifetime, Yellowstone, or Fatal Attraction. Best of all, with Philo, you get all this for just $28 a month. No contracts, no hassles. Just one subscription and a world of entertainment. So go to philo.tv and check it out for a free 7-day trial. That's philo.tv to start watching.
Imagine uncovering the secrets that others missed. A hidden clue, a silent witness, a twist that changes everything. I'm Carter Roy, host of Murder True Crime Stories, a Crime House original podcast. Join me every Tuesday as we dive into a famous solved or unsolved murder case. Follow and listen to Murder True Crime Stories, an Odyssey podcast in partnership with Crime House Studios. Available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
And it is time to head out to the Toyota of Hollywood Hotline. Shop hundreds of Toyotas indoors in one of America's largest showrooms at Toyota of Hollywood on 441 between Hollywood and Sheridan.
All right, Woody. Kyle Krabs, the host of Locked on Fence podcast, joins us. Always one of our more popular guests that we have. Kyle, good morning. How you doing?
I'm doing great, Joe. How you doing?
Man, I'm doing great. So I don't know if I owe you an apology or anything, but I've kind of misled everybody because I keep thinking and waiting for that explosive play with Waddle and Tyreek Hill to come back, and I realized and they finally came out and said it, and Tua talked about it, that short, quick, efficient passing game that they have. And so the 2 years of explosive and quick scoring plays, it's a different kind of offense. It looked really good, by the way. I mean, a lot of guys open, catching it. Mike talked about the players they have maybe better fitted for that stuff, especially Jonnu Smith and the backs coming out of the backfield. What'd you think? Are we done with that? Are you still giving that time to potentially come back, or this is what it's going to be going forward?
So I thought it was interesting because this question has continuously come up with Dolphins fans, and you go watch the tape, especially the game against the Raiders. I thought they had some opportunities down the field, but there are very high percentage, high efficiency completions underneath that have equal amounts of space, because the Dolphins can put Tyreek Hill and Jalen Waddle on the same side of the field, and teams are going to box those two guys, and the guys that are playing on the roof are probably going to end up at 25 yards of depth at some point in the play, and that's just how deep that they're playing. So from a spacing perspective, if they're going to commit 4-2 or 4-3 with like a delayed release out of the backfield, the spacing and that much depth, the spacing that allows you in the rest of the field, I think you really saw that, where there were times where, you know, maybe Tua does look to just push the ball to Tyreek Hill. But that's something that we've been asking for from this offense, to be a little bit more balanced and authentic and finding open guys. And they're doing a really good job of it right now. Now, some of that's still on tape. I think there will be certain game situations down the stretch where they're going to have to take some of those shots. I actually thought the third and eight throw that he had to Tyreek there in the second half against the Raiders was a good example of a tight window throw.
Yeah,
the Raiders rotated to Tampa 2 out of a cover 1 man look, but they had extra guys up on the line. Like, it was an exotic post-snap shift of the shell of the defense, and he put the ball on Tyreek's back shoulder on that in-breaking route at 18 yards, and it was a really well-executed rep of what they just used to do persistently to teams last year. So you see the flashes of it. You see guys that are open. But if teams are going to play you with this much space, like I don't have a problem with it right now. And I think it's sustainable until teams start to crowd, you know, inside of 10 yards, and that's when the big plays are going to start showing back up again.
You know, because I had some buddies call me after, going, "Well, what's right? You know, well, why not the big plays?" I said, "Listen, man, not today. Today everything was clean, short. Guys caught everything. A lot of guys wide open. The picks and rub plays were Waddle did some great job on those, and they did not adjust well to them. So we had guys wide open outside. So I thought it was just it was smart. I'm with you. I have no problem with it. You can tell Tua feels comfortable with it. He looked down the field a couple of times, and he dumps it off to either a running back or Jonnu Smith, who runs like he is just unbelievable for a big guy, the way he runs after the catch. And we've seen him the last couple of weeks come up with some huge plays.
Yeah, Jonnu almost hit 20 miles per hour on the gun on that 57-yarder.
Did he really? Wow.
So that's a 240-pound cat running at 20 miles per hour. That is a big guy with a lot of speed. You know, you're getting some looks where you're getting quarters and you got three guys playing underneath, and the guys on the three guys underneath that are trying to space the entire second level of the defense, they're playing at 12 to 15 yards. Like, how do you not take the swing to Devon Achane?
Right.
And he's in the flat. And he's got the closest defender's probably 18 yards away from him when you triangulate the entire field. So I feel good about the offense right now as far as the efficiency of it. You have a game over game over game against different types of defenses that try to play you in different kinds of ways.
Yep.
Of that efficiency and being able to string together these long plays. I mean, Joe, that was the whole talking point all offseason. Was, they're too explosive, play reliant. They can't string together drives and play late season football. This is what it looks like.
Yep.
Now, there's conversations about the running game, and without Alec Ingold and without Austin Jackson for the second straight week, you felt like there could have been some more opportunities for you, and that there were some missed assignments on the edge between the tackles and the tight ends and the wide receivers. Like, I thought all of those guys contributed to some of your losses on the edge. But I thought Mike McDaniel did a nice job yesterday talking about how if that's the spacing that they're going to give us and that's how they're going to try to play us, you can use that short passing game as an extension of the run guys with the same kind of concept of getting a guy the ball in space.
Especially when you got guys so open, and Tua went right to him, as you said. I'm always amazed. Achane is clearly, now the NFL must know this, because we talk so much about Waddle and Hill. Achane is the number one guy on this team. He is the one that's going to see that football. It's going to touch his hands more than anybody else. And at times, you're right, he was so open out in the flats to catch it and run up the field for another 5 or 6 or yards or more to get first downs. That really surprised me. Hey, so I got to ask you, going forward now here with everything, what did you think of the offensive line? The numbers are down the last 2 weeks, about a 3-yard average basically, with 82 yards and 67 yards with the Rams in this last game against the Raiders. Are you concerned? Or I know some of the guys are banged up. What are your thoughts going forward with this running game that's got to be better in this cold weather coming up?
Yeah, I think there's a couple conversations that are going to play out before our eyes here. I think one of them is getting Alec Ingold back. I think that's the first piece, because that's not a long-term absence with what he's been working through. So Mike McDaniel said last week he didn't have a setback. He ends up not playing. They're going to need him down the stretch. But he is such a big tool, and I think his absence, you've seen it kind of trickle down with what Durham Smythe is asked to do, what roles he's asked to fill. Same thing for Julian Hill. You can tell they're just missing like that effective fit piece from somebody who's not blocking on the line of scrimmage. So that's what Alec does best. So I'm not panicking yet until I see what it looks like when you get Alec Ingold back in and no Austin Jackson. And if you still struggle there, then I think you start asking yourself how ready can we get Patrick Paul? Can he play? You know, I was pretty resistant to cross-training him and getting him at looks at right tackle. It sounds like he's been getting some opportunities with that in practice. Now that Teron Armstead went a whole week without practicing this past week on a short week, I'm sure Pat got a lot of reps there. But he would give you the juice in the run game. The challenge is the pass protection. How ready is he to do that? And I don't have the answer to that. They will internally be the only one that does know.
Hey, how did Kendall Lamb play overall? They did a great job against their pass rusher, Crosby. I thought overall those guys really did a good job at taking him out of the game. How did he play?
So I thought it was a really fun chess match between Miami and their protections and the Raiders and what they were doing with Crosby. So if Crosby was over top of Lamb, more often than not, they were going to turn the center that way, and Lee Meichenberg was there to help. So you were getting effectively two guys on Crosby, and you were leaving the other guys to play one-on-one matchups. And, you know, that worked pretty well. Kendall Lamb is a good pass protector. I think he's a better pass protector than he is a run blocker, and I thought it showed. I thought he framed Crosby pretty well. Crosby did get in on the one sack that Tua had and disrupt and forced Tua to step up into somebody else. But then when Crosby would go over and play over top of Armstead, they would turn away and they would let Teron play on the island, and that allowed kind of the mechanics of your entire front five play out like normal and not be getting schemed double teams on right. One guy. And the Raiders, they'd start playing games with, if we're going to put Crosby over top of Lamb, then we're going to try to put a defensive tackle in the A-gap and lock the center so that we could try to play a twist game, or they put Crosby head up over the tackle and walk a rush linebacker up outside of him to try and do the numbers, and then they'd start bringing pressures away from that side and dropping the guy that's walked up on the line of scrimmage out. So it was really fun when you went back and watched the game to see, like, the chess match of, oh, they're playing Crosby this way. Oh, Crosby's playing us this way. Oh, the Raiders are putting this guy here. And it was a well-designed offensive attack, I thought, from a protection standpoint. And the guys, other than some stunts where they were running two- and three-man stunts, I thought that's where the Raiders really got some disruption. But fortunately, Miami had the ability to get the ball out fast, which we know they are very capable of doing.
Yeah. Hey, Kyle, I got to ask you, I don't know what the breakdown in snaps was, but Storm Duck played ahead of Cam Smith for a lot of that game. Were you surprised by that? Because the team obviously, after Cam's last game, said, no, he's getting better. And I mean, it's always positive, so it's hard to read with the position coaches. What's your take on, is Storm in your mind ahead of Cam, or is that going to be a rotation? What do you think happens there?
I think you're going to let the best guy step in there, and I think they're probably in the process of trying to figure out who that is without Kendall Fuller. Now, I think both guys have ups and downs. I would generally agree that Cam, I think, has gotten progressively a little bit more consistent throughout this stretch of playing time that he's had. But the fact that it's still up and down to the degree that the door is left open for an undrafted free agent in Storm Duck, this is right. A second round pick. You don't get warm and fuzzies about that. So hopefully they find the right buttons to push for Cam, because he is so physically talented. Like, it is very apparent how talented he is. And there's been some stuff over his last couple of weeks where there's quick hitters on the perimeter and he's playing from depth, or there's run support opportunities. He's doing that stuff really well. It's staying attached to guys down the field that is the big issue, I think, for Cam Smith as far as the consistency of his play.
Yeah. Well, you know what, man? We always say this, the higher you're drafted, the more we've had the old microscope on Chop Robinson, who looks like he's getting better and better, had two sacks in back-to-back games. I know he didn't have one in the last game. What's been your take on Chop? And it looks like playing him wider has really helped him.
Yeah, and which is not surprising given the first step explosiveness that he has. And some of that, frankly, is tied to what other bodies you have elsewhere across the front, and how much do you trust the interior guys to keep their integrity and be able to deconstruct blocks so that you can play the end a little wider and not feel like you're giving up chances to get gouged in the B gap. So I think the entire front has done a nice job during this stretch of play since Zach Sealer has come back. Deshaun Hand has really developed for them.
Good for him. That's a good one. Glad you said that. Yeah, Deshaun Hand really played well.
He's taken good amount of snaps, and he's getting off the blocks. I don't think the pass rush ceiling's necessarily ever going to be super high, but that's a player, like, it was a question coming in, and, like, I feel good about him taking snaps now. So all of that, I think, trickles down to optimizing the opportunities of a guy like Chop, who has such dominant first-step explosiveness that the wider you can put him, the more strain he can put on a tackle, and then the more space he has to make the decision on how he wants to continue his rush after his first two steps.
By the way, before I let you go, did your friends tease you with that tailgate food they had last week?
Yeah.
You know what? That's wrong. What they did, we should call them out. That was wrong. I was sitting up there, had very little for breakfast, and I'm trying to skip a meal in between now, you know, so I don't eat too much food at the game. And man, I saw that, and I just—they're bad people. I thought they were good people.
they're trying to coax you down. That's all. They're just trying to coax you down.
Hey, Kyle, thank you, man. I appreciate it very much. Good stuff.
Thanks, Kyle.
All right, Kyle Krabs, the host of a Locked On Fence podcast, joining us this morning, and. Yeah, I start going to the tailgate. I got to stay away from the tailgate. I didn't know you folks eat so well in those tailgates, man. Oh, my God. Hey, I want to tell you right now about Mike Okotsie at Choice Mortgage. Man, 35 years in the business. And people, why would I go with this guy, Mike Okotsie at Choice Mortgage? I said, a guy works 7 days a week, and he gets you approved real quickly. How about that? How about a guy who works on the weekends you can always get a hold of? There's no such thing as banker's hours when you're Mike Okotsie at Choice Mortgage. You are Choice Mortgage. He wants to let you know, you first-time home buyer, looking to get approved and get it done real quickly, found a place you really like. Well, Mike Okotsie said, let's do it together. Let me get it done for you real quickly, get you the lowest rate, and take good care of you. Self-employed, you've been climbed by the banks? Don't worry about that. Mike Okotsie's got something for you to get approved and get done here real quickly, too. Reverse mortgages, any kind of mortgage you're looking for. But the reverse mortgage right now is more popular than ever with folks my age. I want to let you know, reverse mortgage is more than popular because if you and your spouse are 62 or older, you qualify. And how would you like to get that home that's almost paid off or completely paid off? How would you like to get all that equity out of that home and have that to live with? How does that sound to you? For a lot of people out there, they're going, yeah, I need to get it done. Well, that's Mike Okotsie, one of his many specialties that he can do for you. But bottom line is this, the guy has no life. He's always working. He's working for you, South Florida, 7 days a week. Call or text him, 561-441-2730. That's 561-441-2730, MLS 166254. Rates and terms, subject to change, daily without notice. He's an equal housing lender.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not-so-secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
All right, a couple things to get you caught up on here. First, we got weather brought to you by the Demesman and Dover Law from youraccidentattorneys.com. Free consultations 24/7 at 866-954-MORE. It is 78 degrees. It's going to get colder later in the week. It might be a little rain tomorrow, but it's supposed to get supposed to be a cold front coming in. That's what
I can't wait. That'd be nice. They're going to drop down into the 50s for a couple days.
And then real quick, Joe, and let people know. I know we've been running promos for this as well. At Whiskey, Stars, and Cigars is almost here. It's presented
tomorrow, right? Tomorrow night?
Yes.
We're going to have a few drinks together, Woody?
Perhaps. Presented by WQAM and Ed Moore Sawgrass
Auto Mall. Don't seem so excited, Jerky.
Talk sports with the WQAM staff this Wednesday at our new location, Tabacon Cigars and Spirits of Plantation Walk. Enjoy a sample of Aberfeldly 12-year-old single malt scotch whiskey. That's a tongue twister. And a cigar from Drew Estate this Wednesday. It's tomorrow at Tabacon Cigars and Spirits at Plantation Walk, presented by Edmore Sawgrass Auto Mall, your 2023 Dealer of the Year, sponsored by the main man. There's nobody better to help you flip your biz and cash out big than the main man, and by the injury law firm of Cohen and Judah, where a partner handles every single case. Call 866-FAIR-FEE.
Never get shortchanged from those guys.
Love those guys.
Absolutely. By the way, my tequila friends, Harvey, got to make sure we got some tequila for us,
pal. What was that one he got? It was the MJ one, right?
Oh, God, was that good.
He knows you're an MJ
now
guy.
Now I owe him a bottle. Damn it.
It's a shame he's not doesn't have the LeBron one.
Does LeBron have a tequila now, too?
I think so, yeah.
Come on, man. That's a bad
look. Got like a wolf on
stop,
the bottle.
I know, but stop following what MJ does. Stop it.
What if he does it better? What if his tequila's better?
Stop it.
I mean, it could be.
I mean, you can go get it. Do something else besides tequila.
There's not enough tequilas out there.
Apparently. And I got news for you. LeBron's shoe's never going to be as popular as MJ's shoe.
Thank you, Joe. I'm not going to debate you. You got it. You got me on that one.
Okay.
Yeah, there you go. You got me.
Not that MJ make a lot of money on his shoes, too, now. Don't get me wrong. I mean, I understand that. Hey, so we got Jeff Darlington going to join us. Been a while, man. Haven't had JD on, my buddy, for a long time and some wild times in my life. And never good when you go to a party and – my son was 21 or 22 years old, home from college, and was coming to going to the same party. And he said, "Hey, Dad, maybe it's time you go home." That was the first day I grew up. No, I'm being dead serious. That was one of the days I finally said, as I was sitting there drinking, and the girls were coming in four at a time. I mean, and my son sent me home. I mean, it was time. I mean, you know, I looked in the mirror and I go, yeah, it is. It's time to go home. It is. Time to go home to my wife. It's so stupid. So stupid. All right. Hey, JD. He, the people's choice, man. Did a great one-on-one a couple weeks ago with Tua before the Monday Night Football game and with the Rams and stuff. So we'll talk to Jeff Darlington about all that stuff coming up and spend a little time with him. As always, appreciate our buddy Kyle Krabs for breaking down. I mean, seriously breaking stuff down, man. Seriously, seriously breaking stuff down as we go forward. But I got to tell you, man, Tua said it. Mike has said it. If you're going to the games and you're going, maybe today, honey, maybe today, they're going to throw it down the field four or five times in a deep slant or a deep corner route running across the field and getting deeper as you cross. For all those things, getting behind safeties and corners and throwing it five, six times and connecting on a couple, those explosive one and two play 70-yard drives for touchdowns. Not doing it that way. And I got to tell you, it wasn't bad. Those 14 play drives and 8.5 minutes and marching down and the passing game, as Tua said, it was like a running game. First down, throw it out there, get 8 yards. Set up a second and two, throw it again. It was kind of fun. It's just an adjustment for everybody. It really is. It's like, and dumbass here keeps saying, oh, today might be the day. Today might be the day. We got to get Waddle. And it's almost like lazy. It's being lazy is what I was doing. Like today might be the day for Waddle and Hill to get the ball deep. There he goes in motion behind the line. And I was like, okay, shut up, Joe. Just shut up. You're wrong. That's not going to happen. But I'll tell you one consistent thing that is happening. Devon Achane is the number one target player on this offense. They get him the ball, carries, receptions. He's it. It's almost like the goal every game. He seems like every time he's playing now, he's 100 yards total offense. He's 100 to 150 yards total offense. And that's not going to change. And when he's out, I'm guessing Raheem's going to take that and do it as well. And maybe a little Jalen Wright in there. But they got to get the running game going again. It's hasn't been as good the last 2 weeks. We bragging about it. It was really good there. 149 yards to 100 and almost 200 yards for 4 weeks. And it's dropped off. And I know we got some banged up guys. We haven't had our fullback. And all those things do matter. to get those guys back. I'm looking to this Patriots game, and then, man, there's not much time to celebrate because you're hitting the road Wednesday to get to Green Bay for a not first game, not second game, but the third and last game of Thanksgiving. By the way, the NFL is now out to just destroy what the NBA owned for a long time. Didn't they have the five games on Christmas Day?
Yeah.
And now the NFL's...
They took Christmas too, yeah.
They took two games. Is that the Netflix games?
Yeah, so like, I mean, look, man, everyone's going to watch NFL over the NBA regular season, right? That's a bad recipe for the NBA.
Well, because it's late in the season and you're playing. Yeah. I agree. And it's not taken away from the NBA because you
still
got.
It's like the NBA's almost got to back off and find a new day. But
I got to tell you, though, or you do it, my brother-in-law, and I always tell everybody, I am thankful to have two brother-in-laws that like sports as much as maybe even more. All four of my brother-in-laws love sports, but two of them are, I mean, they literally have two TVs on. And they got basketball, and they got football, and you pick which one you want to watch. And there's plenty of alcohol and food, and you just Jamie and John just get after it, man. They just, well, I'll tell you what, married into a good deal with my brother-in-law. It's a very, very good deal.
They serve the LeBron tequila when they watch basketball on Christmas?
No, they're not drinking that stuff. But I am getting a bottle of that from my man. Harvey, I never have it. Harvey got me that bottle out
here.
I'll
look into it. I don't know what it's called. I'll look into it.
Oh, I got the bottle.
No, you got the MJ. I'm talking about the LeBron one.
I don't want the LeBron. All you always got to stir it up. I mean, I'll try it. I'm not against it. It's not like it's a LeBron versus Michael Jordan. Everybody knows Michael Jordan's the greatest player of all time. That ain't changing.
Who has the better tequila, though? That's the question.
The same guy that is a better player overall in his career. All right, right now we got to take a break here, but we've got Jeff Darlington going to join us here in just a couple of minutes. Before we do, I got to get to a problem. It's a problem that I have taken care of, ED and low T. I'm not proud to talk about it. I want to let you know. People go, aren't you embarrassed to talk about that? That's something that's kind of private, isn't it, Joe Rose? I'm going to go, not when you go to Atlantic Men's Clinic and it works and you want to tell guys that might be going through it. After I found out half the men in their 50s have ED. Half the men. So when I'm talking to guys in their 50s, I mean, they don't go around telling. We don't go around telling each other about this thing. That's not something men talk about with each other. But I want to let you know, if your energy level is down and your sex drive is gone and everything around it, not working out like you used to, constantly tired, even moody, and you've noticed that all of a sudden nothing's working in the bedroom, you have it. You have both, ED and low T, and I want to let you know, don't worry about it, because Atlantic Men's Clinic can knock it out, and I mean knock it out quickly. Thank you, guys, because that's what they did for me 8 months ago. And boy, I'll tell you what, schedule a consultation with Atlantic Men's Clinic if you're going through it. Do it today. Your initial visit includes medical consultation with a Florida licensed medical provider, a T and a PSA test, so get your results to you. Take a look at them. They do it quickly. You go over it, and you decide if you want to do it or not. But I'll tell you what, to me, it's the greatest gift you can give yourself or somebody can give you is to go to Atlantic Men's Clinic and get great results by feeling better and having more energy. I don't care if this is going on in your 30s, 40s, 50s, 60s, 70s. I'm talking about you feeling better and getting your sex drive back. Six locations in South Florida to serve you. 877-455-7300 or visit AtlanticMen'sClinic.com.
It is time to head out to the Toyota of Hollywood Hotline. Shop hundreds of Toyotas indoors, one of America's largest showrooms at Toyota of Hollywood on 441 between Hollywood and Sheridan.
Let's go right to him, man. It's been a while. Jeff Darlington, ESPN NFL reporter. JD, good morning. How you doing, man?
Joseph, doing well, my man. Doing well.
Hanging in there.
You know, ready to enjoy this South Florida weather.
Well, I'll tell you what, we've had some good stuff too, man. This weather's starting to get cool, so it's nice.
I always have one trip each year where I get off the plane and I forget that it gets cold everywhere else. And like I don't look at the weather forecast. It's just like, oh, yeah, whatever. And this was that week I got off the plane in Buffalo and thought, damn, I should have brought a coat.
You know, it's funny. And I just looked this morning. I got up early and I looked at the Green Bay weather for Thursday night. I did the same thing. It's That's what happens when you live down here. No question. Hey, I got to tell you, before we start, I love your one-on-one. Monday Night Football, had a chance in L.A. to see it with Tua. I thought it was really good, man. He really opened up. And he, as you know, he does not feel comfortable with everyone.
Yeah. Yeah, no. I mean, listen, I it's one of those things, too, with Tua, where I actually sort of respect it. I know he was kind of defiant in the face of the media the first time. You know, maybe from a PR standpoint, he could do a little better in terms of understanding why people are concerned. But he's, I think, I sense that he's just sort of at a point where he's like, you know, I'm not going to win everybody over. Some people aren't going to understand why I play this game still. And so I think, you know, he was a little defiant in that first press conference. When we sat down, I found him to be more open about it, a little more explanatory, I guess, providing sort of his perspective. But but at the same time, like, I still sense that he doesn't feel like he owes anybody an explanation for his decision. And you know, whether you agree with it or not, I think we all kind of have to just respect it.
You know what? It's funny because we have talked a lot about it, and I think he's told some of the reporters that, hey, man, I'm tired of – I mean, you could tell. I'm tired of talking about the concussion. I'm not going to change the way I play. He made a tackle on interception. That started it up again. He's like, look it, I'm going to play football. You guys keep making – so I give him credit for one thing. He is not – everybody thought maybe he'd come back and be real careful with things, and he's doing whatever he thinks he has to do to win games.
You know, the only thing I'd say to that is – I fully respect his desire and decision to continue to play football, regardless of the long-term ramifications. I have kind of long felt that way. Like, I kind of subscribe to the belief that we're very situational when it comes to our opinions about concussions. You know, we'll go cheer a UFC fight, watch them bludgeon each other.
Right.
Nobody's talking afterwards about how those guys need to retire immediately.
Yeah.
But that being said, in the same vein, when Tua does say, like, I need to stay healthy and stay available for my team, that's when I start to look at plays like he made on that interception. It was an interception return, right? Where he put his head down.
Yep. Like, almost caught a knee to the head directly. Yes.
That's where it's like, okay, listen, do I think that you should be putting your body at risk in those situations for your own health? No, but it's your body. I do think in those situations, and I hate this more than anything, when any player, literally any quarterback in the NFL after an interception goes and does that, and they always say, well, it's competitive spirit, I'm pissed about the interception. You have to be available for your team. And that, to me, is the reason why he – listen, that's where he says, listen, I got to be available for my team. That's a situation where you just can't do that, because that could knock him out and the season's over.
I think Mike's talked to him about all this stuff too, and I don't think he gets salty with Mike when he talks to him about it, but I'm sure they've had those conversations about throwing the ball away is okay and those type of things, right, instead of taking a hit.
Even if they score a touchdown there, like, right, even if they return that for a pick six, like, so, okay, so what? You move on. You can't, and it's happened too often. And honestly, like, if we can, and I understand it's a massive reason, we really, it's hard for anybody to just let go of the long-term ramifications of concussions, but if we can just let go of that for a second and just say the beginning of this season was essentially surrendered for those four games when he was out, And it's going to be very difficult to get that back.
Right.
And if he goes and does that again, the season's over. So that, to me, is like, at this point, you can have the talk about the concussions and whether you should return to football, but you got to be, if you're a quarterback, whether it's your ankle, your knee, your brain, whatever, you have to find a way to avoid injury.
Jeff, I got to ask you one more Tua question, because you know Tua is always the topic, and he gets standing ovations when he gets introduced. Like, people go nuts. You've been out there and seen it. Does he hear everything? You think he hears like what people say, and he always makes it sound like he doesn't. He's pretty private. Yeah. He's at home, but I sense if he's not hearing it, he's got people in his life to do.
I think so. I struggle with that in general with athletes. I mean, I've heard that my whole career. I don't listen to the noise. Yeah, you do. Everybody does. It's human instinct. And there are very few players who truly can tune it out. Like Tom Brady acts like he doesn't listen. He listened to everything, and he used it. I don't buy the idea that these guys can just put their head in the sand. Some do. It's just the way they're built. But not to me. I think he hears it. Hence some of the defiance in that press conference. He heard enough to feel the need to be like, I'm not going to listen to what you guys think. I'm just going to play football. That being said, like, I think in some regards that's human nature.
Yeah. Yeah, it's an interesting one because he's actually in this new offense. We've been talking about this because, you know, we all got kind of caught up. Year three, it's going to be more down the field to Tyreek and to Waddle on the outside, and it's been a short control passing game, which I just think we all have to get used to it. No, it's fine. I'm with you on that. That was going to be the second part. Mike is adjusted to whatever they're doing with that two deep that's not allowing it. With all the stuff underneath, and look at those nice long drives were unbelievable. They're awesome. That's
what Kansas City's doing. That's what the Bills are doing.
That's right.
You know, that game, I was at that game in Buffalo. That was a controlled attack on both sides. Like, that was controlled, clean football. And there is a formula, there is a championship formula within that. Now, the beauty of having Waddle and Tyreek, and I'm sure Mike would agree with this, is that the second that you think that this is a controlled attack, you're going to get hit over the top.
Right.
And that's where the Dolphins have to get. And by the way, I think that they are, count me among those who can put aside the first two games of the season. The Jaguars game, they grinded out. It turns out that wasn't as good as a win as we thought. The second game was the Bills game, right, when Tua went out.
Right.
He wasn't playing well through that game, but it was week two. Like, plenty of teams struggle in the first few weeks. I can buy into the fact that this team is still good. I truly can, especially when the defense plays like it did. But the problem is they're playing from behind, and now there's just no margin for error. It just makes it a very complicated situation.
Yeah, there's no question. Hey, I got to ask you, because I just thought that got home in time to watch a lot of that Josh Allen, Patrick Mahomes game. My God. Can we just let those two play against each other like it's three times a year? Because they get after it. They both run more. They both treat it like a playoff game. I mean, 100%. that run Josh Allen makes at the end of the game on 4th and 2. Are you frigging kidding me? And Mahomes, by the way, is running when he had the ball, when he needed to. He took off, and it was just great.
Epic. Yeah. The game itself, the fact that both teams, you know, it's very rare to have teams with those records at this juncture of the season playing against each other. Like, I don't know, Joe, I was probably too young, but like, you know, I obviously know Brady and Manning, but I wasn't really old enough in the 80s to know about Marino and Kelly and Montana and Elway. This one feels like that to me, right? This is the one that we have right now that is truly that.
Yes. The only thing is Kelly and Marino got to play against each other twice a year that made that special.
True.
But the Elway games, when we did go out and play them, they were special. And I felt a little something, you know, cause being in the same class. By the way, same agent, both guys really close, but, you know, wanted to make a point. Whether I was the last guy taken in the first round or the first overall guy, I want to show the first overall pick that year that I freaking got I can get it done. I think competitive, yeah.
Josh even going throughout that week was like, you know, he kept saying it's just a week 11 game. And I'm telling, the second that game started, like, it was absolute playoff vibes from beginning to end. You cannot tell me, I will never believe you when you tell me that they can treat that as just another game. Now here's the deal. Bills fans were all pumped up about winning that game at the end. I'm kind of sitting there like, who cares? A little bit.
Yeah.
You've done this four times in a row in the regular season. Like, you know, to me, I'm sure Josh was pumped about it, but at the same time, like, all right, we could check the box, but we haven't checked the big box, and that's beating him in the playoffs.
Yeah, that's a different one, and I'm sure Kansas City left going, well, just so you know, Josh, you 100%. Guys, you got us, but you're going to play us in Kansas City next time, too.
Well, that's what Mahomes was great afterwards. He goes, his quote, he said, he basically said, yeah, the undefeated thing, that was fun, but that's not our goal. And it just kind of shut everything down, like, oh, right, you guys are the Super Bowl people.
Yeah. Hey, where do you rank all these quarterbacks? Does it seem like three or four guys have kind of separated themselves from all the other quarterbacks? Are you on that Lamar, Josh, Joe? Joe Burrow's playing ridiculous.
He is playing really good for how
bad the team is.
It's not showing up. Yeah, yeah. I am in that vein. Like, I have a very difficult time putting – and it's not – you know, like, I'll put Tua in tier two, for instance. Like, I'll put him in that tier with some of these really good quarterbacks. Like, even like Herbert, I know we continue to talk about him like he's, you know, so good and all these things. I still put Tua, like, I think there is a tier two, but there is a clear and definitive tier one. And I would say at this point it's Mahomes, Allen, Lamar. Like, I don't even think C.J. Stroud is in it yet.
No, I agree. Right? What about Joe Burrow? You still put Joe in there?
Joe Burrow. Yeah, those four. Yep.
Yeah, I'm with you. No, that's my four. And by the way, there's a whole, as you said, there's a batch of guys that, hey, I got no problem if that guy's my starting quarterback.
Cool. And by the way, Jared Goff is playing efficient as hell.
Playing, like,
he's
great.
Playing ridiculous. And that's the thing. Like, same thing with Tua. Like, if you've got that guy, that's okay. You just have less margin of error when it comes to everybody else.
Hey, speaking of Tua, because I've been around him now since he's been here, and I still enjoy just when he's got an edge to him, to just watching him, and he's got a little, I want to say the S word, he's got a little something to him, man. Like,
he
right
does.
Now, he's got an edge
grit,
to
man.
Him. He's no longer like, oh, hell no.
Cute Tua?
Yeah.
He's not. He definitely has an edge to him now.
And I'm glad he needed that. That's so good. It's good.
It is great. I just hope that you gotta like kind of use that energy the right way. And like, I think that it's important to be, you know, defiant at times, but you've got to be smart about that. Like, you've got to use it for good energy. Like, you've got to use that to motivate. And that's the other thing. Like, you talk about people who use that stuff. Mahomes uses it. Brady uses it. Those guys have that to them, that edge. But you have to manifest it in a way that doesn't turn out to be negative, to where it impacts, like, the people around you.
I leave you with this question. Jeff, I appreciate you coming on to talk about this stuff just because you're around these guys so much. And I know you're around Mike a lot too, but for right now. So this game against the Patriots, if they're playing the way the Dolphins have been playing the last 3 weeks, should win this game. And I'm not looking – I'm sitting here and doing radio right now, so I don't have to play
ahead.
In the game. But
the
Thursday night game is the one that everybody's going to talk about for Tua to really get over, he and the team, to win against a playoff team on the road
games.
Late in the season. You agree? That's and prime time. Last game on Thanksgiving.
Is that the Packers game? Is that what you're talking about?
Yeah, yes.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, listen, like, all these teams, I mean, they have, what is it, like a 400 winning percentage? Like, it's below 500. The remaining teams, like, a lot of these teams we thought would be better than they are. They're all beatable. The problem is that the Dolphins still have to prove that they are
right.
You know, that they
moved
can
up a step. Yes.
Yeah.
So.
Yep.
Hey,
but,
man.
Yeah, no, I think that game's going to be good.
Jeff, thank you, man. It was good getting caught up. And the only thing we have now is to get caught up in Los Olas with a couple
I know.
Of drinks.
Cold beer. We say it, but we
yeah.
gotta do it.
Have you seen? Have you seen Fasano? Have you seen Anthony recently?
Almost every day.
All right. So you know what? This is when I know it's almost time to retire. His son is in the same class as my granddaughter in the same school.
Who, Frankie?
Yes.
Yeah. Oh, listen. Frankie,
that's when I know when the grandparent is saying and I'm it's a weird yeah.
Oh, okay, but yeah, we're going to be covering Frankie someday. I
see
it's gotten this on. Okay, there's nothing that comes out. Listen, Fasano's wife Carrie is one of the best humans on the planet. She's like 6 foot. Fasano's a monster. Like, Frank, their dog is even huge. Like, they don't mess around. Like, Frankie's going to be a left tackle.
Oh, my God. I hear he's a big boy. There's no question. Yeah, so we'll be seeing the family. Hey, JD, thank you, man. I appreciate it.
All right. See you, bub.
All right, Jeff Darlington, ESPN NFL reporter, joining us. We've got the 9 o'clock hour coming up. Stay with us.